All this week, we've been exploring the issue of affordable housing in a series we're calling Under One Roof, Affordable Housing 101. We've met the users of affordable housing, the developers that build it, and we've taken a look at how the financing for those developments works. Today, KUT's Wells Dunbar takes a look at the politics surrounding affordable housing and what last year's defeat of bonds for affordable housing might mean for the future.
For many, it was a great night. At the Driscoll Hotel, Travis County Democrats toasted President Obama's victory in the November 2012 election. But Walter Moreau with Foundation Communities, one of Austin's largest affordable housing providers, wasn't celebrating.
All the other bonds passed, so it's hard to say that why.
Austin voters had been asked to approve seven bond propositions, totaling $385 million. Voters ended up approving most of the package, except for Prop 15. Nearly $80 million in bonds for affordable housing.
Yeah, that's really home repair for seniors. That's housing for folks that are homeless. That's programs for veterans and disabled and people that are really vulnerable in our community that need help.
Fast forward about 5 months. I'm meeting David Butts for coffee in Hyde Park. Butts is a veteran Austin politico. He's had a hand in helping elect every current member of the Austin City Council. He also helped head up the campaign for Prop 15. He's had plenty of time to dissect what went wrong. He starts with the ballot language itself, which said nothing about affordable housing.
It was extremely abbreviated by even comparison to the others.
He mentions a lack of resources, that is, cash, poured into the campaign.
Our own polling showed it losing, and that was conveyed to people, but the money that was necessary to communicate to voters didn't come till very late.
But the Prop 15 campaign failed in an even more basic way, Butts says. Communicating affordable housing's benefits to voters, or maybe even more fundamentally, just what affordable housing is.
There's a lot of connotations in people's minds about what does that mean. Now, some people think it means Soviet-style architecture, or something like we have thousands of people living right next door to you in these gigantic complexes. Well, that's not what we're doing.
Regardless of the reason for Prop 15's defeat, it blew a hole in Austin's affordable housing plans. And the scramble for funding in the wake of its defeat also raised a question. Is the city leaving money on the table? Let's say you're a developer looking to build more densely than zoning allows on a piece of land downtown. For years, you've had two options. You can apply for what's called central urban redevelopment, or CURE zoning. That's a zoning category for projects that supposedly rise to a special level. But it doesn't require developers to include affordable housing. Your other option? You could apply for that extra density under the Downtown Density Bonus Program, but you'd be required to include affordable housing. To date, downtown developers have used CURE zoning every time. The Downtown Density Bonus Program? It hasn't been used once.
That's just not right.
That's City Council member Laura Morrison. She's led the push to phase out CURE zoning, the kind without affordable housing requirements.
The loss of the bonds, it puts a laser focus on this responsibility that we do everything we can to make sure that we're leveraging and ensuring as much affordability in this town as we can. That's our job as council.
I think it really is a matter of political will.
That's Elizabeth Mueller. She was on the Affordable Housing Task Force that created the Downtown Density Bonus Program. She notes the zoning debate may obscure a more fundamental issue. Most of the time, the most affordable housing is the stuff that's already built. She points to the city's rezoning of East Riverside as an example. It's great in theory. In line with the Imagine Austin Comprehensive Plan, it even includes some affordable housing.
And that will also increase the tax base for the city. So the city has an interest in that because they'll get more property tax revenue. And developers will also get more return on their investments there.
But there's a downside, too.
Those things then also, though, are raising the value of properties in ways that can raise rents, other things that make it harder then to serve those goals of maintaining them as affordable to existing residents.
The council recently passed a resolution from Councilmember Morrison incorporating some of Mueller's ideas, like offering incentives to keep older, existing buildings affordable.
We're losing more and more on the ground because old buildings that provide affordable housing are getting knocked down, and existing buildings that might provide affordable housing are just getting more expensive.
Preserving existing affordable units could increase housing options. Other ideas we heard include creating a homestead preservation district. There, property taxes from new developments would offset taxes for longtime residents in danger of being pushed out. Another idea is to use city-owned land more aggressively. Open more city land to developers and require them to build at deep affordability levels. Any of these initiatives could reduce reliance on future bond funding for affordable housing. But Foundation Communities' Walter Moreau says it will still require voter-approved cash.
I think we can do a lot through the Land Development Code, through zoning, through density bonuses, through other policy-oriented things. But we also are going to have to come up with capital funding, especially to serve the lowest income folks. Otherwise, they'll be priced out of Austin, and I think that hurts us as a community.
To that end, a group of affordable housing advocates is calling for another go at a bond election. The city council could vote to put a question on the November ballot later this summer. Wells Dunbar, KUT News.
You can check out all the pieces in our series on affordable housing at kutnews.org. We want to hear your comments on the series. You can email your thoughts to news@kut.org or comment on Facebook or tweet us. We're at KUT News.